Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. Listen, this is Friday night. We got a great show tonight. Stay tuned after the song, I Am the Treasure. We'll be right back. God bless you all.
From the day I was born,
everyone. Again, this is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. Listen, this is a great night of discussion. We're going to be talking about some few different things. I hope, you know, you out there that are listening, tonight be the night that you may call in. We have, you know, certain people that call in all the time, but tonight, you know, I want to hear someone, you know, some new people call in and talk about some things. I know there's a lot of you listening because the numbers are growing every day when it comes to Dirty Church Radio. So I know for a fact that there are a lot of people listening to the show. So just with that thought right there, we want to hear from you tonight. Call in. I know y'all been listening to the show and you've been hearing different topics, different arguments, different people going back and forth and different things like that, and you may have a feeling of disagreement with it or agreement with it. You may like it or dislike it, but we want to hear your opinion about the different shows that you've listened to so far and how it makes you feel, what are you getting out of it, how is it affecting you. Talk to us. Listen, call in tonight, 773-897-6319. 773-897-6319. Right now I'm on the show by myself, Minister Jay Miller. I'm waiting for a few other callers to call in that will, you know, have conversation with me tonight on this show. waiting for our co-host, our brother Aaron, the devil's advocate Spradley, and our apostle Lewis Young. Waiting for them to come on. If y'all brothers hear me, listen, Dirty Church, they waiting. We waiting, man, for you brothers to come on and talk with us, give us your points of views. And, you know, we have our brother Sword that calls in, our brother Senefa, our brother Matu. We ain't heard from ex-Catholic in a while, but different ones been calling in and talking, and it's been great. And tonight is one of those shows where we want to actually just hear from you. And we want to hear different scenarios of different situations. And tonight is a very, very good topic. It is, why does it have to be this way, God? That's the question. Why does it have to be this way? Why am I in the situation that I am? Why can't the situation just be right? Why am I struggling and other people are living well? Why am I sick and others are well? You know, I've been waiting for my healing a long time. I've been praying, and I don't want to go through this, what I'm going through. Why my prayers haven't changed my situation? You know, some may feel, Lord, why am I ugly and others are pretty? Why am I fat and others are skinny? Why am I poor and others are rich? Why? It's many whys that could be asked, and it's asked every day. If some of you right now are going through different situations in your life that are very critical, and then you look outside of what you're going through into someone else's life, and it seems like things is better. And the question is, God, why do I have to go through what I'm going through and they're not going through it? Why can't you just fix this situation, God? Why do I have to feel the pain and struggle that I'm feeling? What is it for? Why couldn't things just be peaceful? Why can't things be right? Why are our children dying in the streets? Why are there people in other countries starving with no food to eat? Like, why? What is it all for? What is the purpose of it all for? What was this world created for? Was it created for us to go through this suffering? Why? Why can't it just fix? Why can't a button just be pushed and everything is okay? That's the question, why. Apostle, Lewis Young is on the show with us right now. What's going on, Apostle?
Grace and peace, everybody.
Good, man. Good, man.
Good night.
Good night. Our brother Sword is on the line with us now, too. He just called in.
All right, bro.
All right. God bless.
What's going on, man? Y'all know what tonight's topic is, man. Tonight, we asking the question, man. The question is being asked in millions and millions and millions of homes all over the world on different continents. The question is, why does things have to be this way, God? Why is it the way it is? Why did my mother die and their mother live? Why am I sick with cancer and others don't have it? Why did my husband leave me and everyone else is living a happy marriage? Why are they able to have kids and me and my wife been trying for the longest? Why did I lose my child and their child lived? Why? What is it all for? And then someone may ask the question, if God gets the glory out of my suffering, my long suffering, my pain, what does he get out of my happiness? Why can't I just be happy? Why do I have to go through these things? Why was I ever on drugs? Why was drugs ever even able to be created to make the world and people lose their families and commit suicide? Why? Why all of this? Why am I feeling what I'm feeling? Why? I want to think, God, why can't, and people are asking the question, why can't all of these, everything that's wrong, just be made right? Why? Why am I feeling panic attacks in the middle of the night? Why do I got the shakes? Why am I poor and struggling? And other people dangle their riches in front of me and they're living good. Why? And it's many whys tonight. And why? And the question why has been in everyone. Everyone has asked that question at one time or another. And we might got different whys. Or why God? And I don't believe there's nobody on this phone that has never said why to God. You've asked the question. You've asked the question. Like, God, why? Like, they've been stabbing in my back, God. Like, why do you not want me to rebuttal? Why do you not want me to respond? Why do I have to take it? Why do I have to turn the other cheek? Why? Why do I got to stand when others are falling? What is it all for? I've been struggling for 20 years in my life, not just barely getting by. Why does it have to be that way? And you know something? And I'm going to let it go in a minute, but I'm just saying, it's people right now, man, someone right now is probably in a hospital about to lose their loved one. And in the next room, someone is packing their bags with their loved one, and that person is going home. And they're well, and they're asking the question, why me? Like, why?
That's deep.
You know, like why? Why wasn't I healed and others are healed? Why did my mom die from this, you know, disease, or my father died from this disease? And God, I've been praying, I've asked you, and why was the answer no? Why? Why did I have to feel this pain? What is this pain doing for me? I don't want it. Talk to me, brothers.
Wow.
It's very deep. It's real. It's life, you know. How would you know light if you never had no darkness? How would you know the sun is shining and it's beautiful if you never knew what a stormy, rainy night was? It's hard to speak for someone else and to speak why God allows what he allows. I can only speak on my behalf because everything that you mentioned, some of us at some point have participated in some type of trauma in our life or some type of darkness in our life or some type of you know, judgment, so to say, if that, you know, the scripture talks about buildings falling down and innocent people being killed. But Jesus said, and the question was asked to Jesus, why did they die? Was it because of their sins or the sins of their parents? Jesus said also, unless you repent, you shall also perish. So, you know, I've been around a couple of people, and, you know, they always come back to me when I ask some of my wise scholars why. They come back to me and say, why not? When I ask them, why me? They always ask me, why not you? So my thing is, if one would ask why, I would say, ask yourself, why not you? And your downfall or your, you know, tragedy or your trauma can be a stepping stone to make you bigger and better and stronger. You know, life is about struggle. I'm going to read this one scripture. This scripture I'm about to read right here, I don't know if anybody would even attempt to interpret it. But a lot of scholars and a lot of different people overlook this scripture. This scripture reads, and it's God talking. It's in Isaiah chapter 45. I'm going to start from verse 5, but my point is verse 7. Now, this is God speaking in verse 5, Isaiah 45, verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me. I girdest thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the going and from the west. That means from the east to the west, that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. God began to say in verse 7, I form the light and I create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. We know God is not evil, and God, you know, Satan is the one who do evil. But the interpretation when he said, I create evil, the first judgment or the first chaos that took place is when Satan got cast out of the kingdom in the presence of God. And darkness came upon the face of the world. That darkness was the darkness of the judgment that God allowed to come upon Lucifer, who was an angel of light. And so God was the first one who brought judgment and chaos to something very unique and beautiful that he made. So when he said, I created evil, he's saying that I created judgment. I created darkness. You know, when Lucifer violated, that's in scripture. Some people can't interpret that, or they might point their finger and say, God did evil. God don't do evil. When he says, I create evil, he's saying, I create catastrophes and judgment upon someone who violates my laws. And Satan violated, Lucifer violated, and that's when he created judgment and chaos. But now in the world, you know, we see these different things that happen. God said the things that are revealed, that's for man, but the things that are secret, that's for God, you know. And, you know, some of your whys that you may ask, why this or why that, you might not get no answer, you know. But, you know, you got to, if I went back to looking at my origin as a small germ cell, my origin, I struggled, I fought amongst a billion sperm cells to become into existence and into this world. A sperm cell, in every sperm cell, there are billions and billions of small life, small germs inside of one semen. One semen that comes from the male is billions and billions of sperm cells inside of that one piece of semen, if you put it under the microscope. But it only takes one cell that brings life into existence that fertilizes the female's ovum and creates life. So struggle means change. Struggle means to evolve from nothing into something. So you're going to have to struggle and fight no matter what your chaos is, no matter what your trauma is, no matter what your darkness is. There is light at the end of the tunnel. You got to survive. You got to be a survivor. You survive amongst a billion sperm cells that come into existence. Don't give up now because you see yourself still struggling. You know, I mean, you know, life is there because you're breathing. You got to keep struggling. So, all right. I mean, if I was to attempt to answer some of those whys, I would say what was said to me. Why not? Why not you?
All right, Apostle.
Well, you know,
we have another caller, too. I think they're calling from a computer. I just let them on. It's like all ones or something, their number.
Well, what's funny is, or should I say what's obvious, is the whys.
I mean,
just like you said, Minister Miller, everybody that's living and breathing at one point in time in their life has had a why situation, like questioning God about whatever the why is. But you know what's funny? Just to echo off of something that Brother Schwartz was saying, isn't it funny that oftentimes when we have a why not question, you get no response from God at all? I mean, you get no response at all, nothing. And usually the reason why you don't get no response is just because of what Brother Swore said. Why not? Why not? I mean, when God is silent, that means he's silent because he feels you know the answer. Oftentimes, I'm going to say, when God is silent, when you're asking him a why not question, it's because you're asking him a why not question. Because the Bible plainly says, plainly, that God will put no more on you than that you can stand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if the his word is not going to return to him void, if he said in his word that he will not put no more on you than you can stand, that means when you asking him why are you going through this and why are you going through that, it's because he thinks you can stand.
You know something, Apostle Young, right there, and that is true. He does say he don't, you know, not gonna put no more on you than you can bear. But you know what's something? It's the point of when you're bearing it. It doesn't feel like that. It like when you're feeling what you're feeling, it's hard to think of. All right. Sometimes it doesn't feel like you can bear it, even mm-hmm. though the word says you can bear it, you know what I mean? That's a great thing, but it doesn't actually feel that way.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It really doesn't feel
Let me give you a scenario. You, I know you. I'm sure Brother Sword. I don't know who else is on the line.
Our brother Neff is on the line with us now too.
Okay. Now let me give you a quick scenario, and this just dropped in my spirit as you were talking. Whenever you are going to the gym working out, all right, they tell you that when you first start working out that you have to start with some light weight because you got to get your body accustomed to lifting extra weight. But after about 2 to 3 weeks of that lifting that weight, you have to move up your weight in order for you to get some benefit out of the exercise. You following me?
Uh-huh.
And when you on that bench press and you telling that brother to put that extra 50 pounds on that bar, 25 on this side and 25 on that side, when you first go to lift it, it feels as if you are not going to be able to lift the weight. It's going to feel as if you can't bear the weight. It's going to feel as if you can't handle it while you are pushing it. You get where I'm going? Just like with the weights, you push through it. You push through it. Your arms might be shaking, your muscles might be burning, but you push through it. And after you push through it and let the weight down, you sit up and sit on that bench and you say to yourself, man, that was a struggle, but I got through it.
Yeah.
And it's the same, the reason why It's supposed to feel like you can't get through it. Because guess what? Your faith will never be exercised if you get through something that you know you can get through. See, oftentimes, and this is blessing me as I'm talking, oftentimes when you're going through a situation and it makes you cry out, God, why am I going through this? God, why am I going through that? Why does it seem like my neighbor is blessed, but I'm struggling? And it's because what you're going through is really exercising your faith. And any exercise, I don't care whether it's spiritual or whether it's natural, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. That old adage, they say, no pain, no gain. Well, it's just like it is in the natural, that's how it is in the spiritual. In order for you to go to another level, you can't go to the next level with the same level of faith. Usually, whenever you're going through a big, gigantic test or a big gigantic trial, there's a gigantic promotion on the other end of it.
Okay.
On the other end, when just like a mother that's pregnant, that's travailing to bring to birth a child, she has a whole ton of regrets. Her body takes her through, a woman that's having a baby goes through so much pain to where in the midst of their going through, their body wants to give up. They want to quit. They want to throw in the towel. But they keep going. They keep going. And all that is when you questioning God and saying, Lord, why me, why me? All that is travailing pains. You travailing to come forth. That's just like when you be in that operating room and you be screaming to that doctor saying, why does it feel like this? Why does it feel like this? That doctor don't say nothing. You know why? Because he can't answer that question. He can't tell you why you got to feel, well, I can tell you why, because the Bible says you're supposed to go through that pain.
Yeah, I would like to comment too, bro, on that why. Listen, you mentioned a lot of things, man. You know, and some people are decent, respectful people, man, and experience some real tragedy, man, some real trauma, like, you know, like, I mean, like, you might not know what it feel like, man, to get a leg blown off, man, and you sitting there and ain't got nobody to help you, you know, get to some help or get some medication to take this pain off you, man. You might not know how it feels to have cancer inside your body, but some people got cancer, man, and they might not ain't did nothing wrong. They might don't even smoke. So time and chance happen to all of us. I believe that the best thing to do is to be very humble, man, and know that you can bleed just like somebody else can bleed. You can wind up in a car accident just like somebody else can. Your house can catch on fire just like somebody else's house can catch on fire and lose their mother and their father and everything in the house and it burn to the ground. You know, anything can happen. So I believe that it's best, man, to be humble because it might have passed your house or you might not be asking why or you might not be experiencing a divorce or somebody cheating on you or your wife walked out or your husband walked out. Man, you might not experience some of these trauma situations, but there is a saying in the Bible that says time and chance have happened to us all. That means that, you know, it can come your way. And so it's best to be very humble and respectful because you know that, man, somebody can put a gun in your head and rob you, too. And somebody can not only rob you, but pull a trigger. Thank God for what it is that he's watching over all of us. But what about the one who is in the house and you're talking about grandparents, man, and somebody come up in there and rob the joint and kill your grandma, man? That's some real tragic situation. Or, you know, you growing up as a kid and got to get locked in the basement, man, or being whipped or put inside of a chest because somebody want to mistreat you or whatever, or being molested, man, by your own brother or your own sister, man. You know, these trauma situations take place. It's best to walk very humble and respectful, knowing that you, too, going to be judged by the Almighty and keep a heart of respect that, you know, Lord, you know, help the next man that's going through that. And I'm grateful that he allowed it to pass by my house. You
but
know,
see, that's where it gets tricky.
That I'm not so big that I know it can't miss me. I'm riding in the car. A truck can run back at me. You know, so time and chance happen to us all. It's best to stay humble. You know, and like
that's where it gets tricky at too, though, right? Because you may have someone who, you know, I mean, they like you just said, they experience bad things, and someone might be experiencing something like right now, and they're saying like, God, people are saying like, God, if you love me so much, if you love me, why would you even let it happen? Why did I have to go through this? You know, why did I have to get raped? Is there anything that you could have done?
But this is what I'm saying. All right, this is
I just want to say one thing. When you go back to the generational curse, that, you know, God said, I'm going to visit the iniquities upon the children of the third and the fourth generation of those that hate me and violate my laws. So a lot of times that person that got raped or something happened, they suffering from the word that says that I'm a visit. The word says I'm a visit the iniquities of the fathers upon the third and the fourth generation.
Hold that thought right there. I just want to make one thing clear. I just want to know, are you actually saying that if someone gets raped or someone gets robbed or abused, that happening can be the result of a generational curse from in the past, and now it fell on them? That's what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, because you can have an innocent girl, man, who never did nothing, but she's 2 years old. She never did nothing, but yet she got a brother, man, who touches on her and making her life a living hell, and she thinks she's living good until she get older and find herself strung out on drugs somewhere or ready to commit suicide because she can't take the pain of thinking about what her brother did to her. You know, but yet she didn't do nothing. Only thing that I'm saying is that if you go back, you know, some people are reaping the consequences of the sins that's in their generation. You know, even if it's like drugs and alcohol. I mean, it's different things that goes down through the family line, you know, but I'm not saying this is in every case, but I'm saying this like Solomon said, time and chance has happened to us all. You know, there's a time for this and a time for that. I mean, you know, it's in this world, and in this world it's chaos and trouble and darkness, Satan and all kinds of sin and corruption. We live in corruption, so it could come your way. You know, so you got to stay protected, and I feel like the best way to stay protected is to stay close to the Almighty God. You got to get to know Him and respect Him. You can't live any kind of way and expect that the Almighty God is going to be hoovering over you and take care of you, even though He do.
Yes, sir. The G on the line?
I'm on the line, sir.
Yo, what's going on, man?
What's up, man?
How long have you been listening?
Probably about 20-25 minutes.
Oh, well, let us hear from you, since this is your first time actually calling in on Dirty Church Radio, and we appreciate you calling in tonight, sharing with us. But talk with us about, you know, what are the different whys, man? Like, why is all this happening?
All right,
why, you know, the different scenarios.
Before I start, Mr. Miller, I just want to say God bless you to Apostle Young and Brother Sword, everybody else on the call. I have tried to in my latter years, be swift to hear, as the scripture instructs, and slow to speak. And I wanted to see the exact nature of the conversation, but I think the topic was so excellent. You know, why, God? Why does it happen? I heard one of the brothers say, why not you? And it's ironic because I heard apostles say that God will never allow anything more to be placed on you than you're able to bear. And as I listened to it and I heard several of the callers say, it was really blessing me because I personally have gone through some personal things that I did not understand. Like, I really had, and this might sound unconventional, so thank God for Dirty Church, because I'm an unconventional person. I am traditionally non-traditional on purpose. But several occasions where I wondered why. All my life, the majority of my life, I was raised in the church. Wasn't nothing but a church boy. I wanted so bad to fit in with the world, and that did not work. At 16, I signed my first record deal. I was in a rap group. They gave me $185,000 advance. I thought I was a millionaire. In 3 years, I was broke, and I was back on my grandmother's floor crying. And my great-aunt, Pastor Fleming, who Apostle Young knows well, she was sitting in the corner on 1154 Nottingham Way with five members. Her building is paid off. She was driving a Cadillac, and I was crying because I thought I was going to be a rap star and go perform on our city hall. That's all I wanted to do. And I found myself coming back to my roots. My birth mother, my biological mother, was the creature's oldest daughter, was on cocaine for 33 years. That was before crack. That was before, you know, it was a phenomenon. And I couldn't understand why, as her only child, is my mother not able to come to parent-teacher conferences. And why? Because my mother is an addict in the streets. Cocaine was controlling her life. Why was I too ashamed to bring her to school? Because I didn't want anybody to know that was my mother. And I couldn't understand what kind of God would do that to somebody who really believes in him. And then somebody gave me a scripture where on the cross Jesus said, my God, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, why hast thou forsaken me? Even Christ said, why hast thou forsaken me? And oftentimes we forget that we are not greater than our master. If
That's
Jesus
right.
suffered, the scriptures say if you want to reign with him, you got to suffer with him.
That's
and
right.
most of us, watch this, we want to know God in the power of his resurrection. But what we don't understand or we fail to remember is that to know him in the power of his resurrection, you got to first know him in the fellowship of his suffering.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things you would have to go through.
That's
and,
right.
And it took a long time for me to grasp that the reason I believe, and I'm not saying it's the totality of what God was doing, because the Bible said now we know in part. We only know a portion of it. We'll know better. We'll understand it better by and by. Scripture said we know in part. We see in part, we prophesy in part, but then shall we know even as all we are known. You don't know it all, so I don't know all of what God is doing, but I can tell you this today, after 33 years of addiction, my mother is the mother of my church. Only a real God can do that. She
That's
got
right.
better credit than me. She got a higher credit score, FICO scores than me. She is the biggest tither in my church, the biggest giver in my church. It's not about finance. I'm just saying I'm showing you how God can take tragedy and turn it around to triumph. Had I not gone through that, people of God, men of valor, I could not tell you what the scripture means when it says we overcome him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word,
the
of,
word
our testimony.
Of our testimony.
See, I could tell somebody don't give up because I've been there. I can tell somebody, don't kill yourself, because I've been there. I can tell somebody, don't give up with your drug-addicted mother or father, because I've been there. And I've seen God turn it around. And so when I listen, I'm like, I just quietly listen to the exchange of God. Why does it have to be this way? Because I just look at the promise I made, Apostle Minister Miller, all the other callers. I always say, I will never do to my children what my mother did to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I understand it was a sickness, an illness. She was powerless over her addiction. So I never do that to them. And after being married probably 8 years, my wife got pregnant. And she was pregnant with a son. And I don't care, at least for me, all I wanted was a man child from the Lord. I wanted a boy that could cut this grass, that could be my reflection. And my wife didn't have high-risk pregnancy. She wasn't sick. She was an investment manager for Merrill Lynch. She had a reserve parking space. Everything looked good. She's 5 months pregnant. She all big and glowing. And one day she goes to the doctor's appointment and hears the heartbeat without me. And I'm at work. And I leave work the next day to go so I can hear the heartbeat. And they tell us in the ultrasound room that our son had died. I was
oh,
Lord.
God.
And I'm saying, hold on.
Oh,
my
Lord.
Mother on crack 33 years, and the only thing I asked God for was a son, and now my son is dead. What's the use? Who would serve a God like this? Why would he do cruel and unusual punishment on me? Because it just did not seem fair. I wanted to go get drunk and hide and throw in the towel and say, forget it.
And this
but
is
I learned
is.
Through the process of time, Listen, there is no pain or temptation such as common to man that God, with the temptation, with the struggle, with the trial, will not provide a way of escape. And within a year, the Lord gave us a baby girl who was the child that would take away the pain. And because of my daughter today, who was 11 years old, she helped to take away the pain of the devastation of me losing my son. But I was mad. I had issue, and most people won't be this transparent. I had an issue with God. Because how can a loving God do that to somebody who is professing his name? It was a hard thing. But I learned that I'm able to, in this day, with a thriving, growing church, to tell people I know God is able, not because I just read it, not because I went to school and I got some wallpaper, some degrees, and some certificates that say I've been to school, but because I got the experience that when the situation seemed horrible, God turned it into a testimony. And so that's why I called the shift.
Well, listen, man, I'm here on Dirty Church Radio. We appreciate that, man. That was some real stuff right there, man.
Yeah. Well,
I was devastated. I was devastated. You know.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Because it's good that you said what you said, because I was getting ready to respond to something that Brother Schwartz said, but really, it wasn't no need to respond to it because of what you said. See, it's easy to talk about what we should do.
Right.
Or how we should act. You follow what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You know, but when you, just like Jermaine alluded to before you got on the line, when you going through that stuff,
right,
you ain't thinking about trying to be humble.
No, well, you ain't.
You thinking about getting the answer.
Yeah.
I just want to check the five.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
I mean, it's a powerful show, man. And I'm sitting here right now, man, grateful. And Apostle Young will affirm what I'm saying. In 2005, and make sure you hear this, because right now I stand as the last man in my family. I'm the eldest male in my family, and I'm only 50 years old. I have no uncles. It's a biblical proportion.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking about Swore. When you said that scripture, I remember going to God and asking him, okay, so is it something that I did, or was it something that my grandfather did, or something that, because you were sharing that, you know, the sins of the father are passed down to the third and fourth generation. But the answer, that's the Bible. After that scripture, God tells them in Deuteronomy, he says, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor the children put to death for their fathers.
That's right.
Each is to die for his own sin.
For his own sin.
And then in Ezekiel, he told him, he says, the soul who is Ezekiel 18 and 20, he says, the soul who sins is the one who died. He said, the son shall not share the guilt of the father, nor the father share the guilt of the son. The righteous of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked man will be charged against him. So and so what that did was made me ask the question that you guys are asking. Okay, God, why? Because here's what happened. I'm in Georgia. I get a call, and they say, hey, Ellis, mommy is real sick, man. You might need to come home. So I said, okay, this was like at about 10 o'clock in the morning. And I said, well, what's she doing? But she's real sick. You just might need to come to church. And so by the time I got my bag packed, they called, the phone rang and said, well, she's not here, man. She left. Now, this is my dear mother, right?
Wow.
This is my dear mother. So I said, okay, well, we can take our time because she's still going to be dead when I get there, right?
Sure.
So we took a couple of days, 3 days. We took off and we came up there. So we're at my brother's house and we're praying. We praying, and as soon as we said amen at my brother's house, the phone rings, and the hospital said, you guys might want to get up here because your brother's not going to make it. And so we left from there. We were just praying. It's 3 days. We didn't even put my mother in the ground yet. So we shoot up to the hospital. She died on December 5th. He died 3 days later. And so we get to the hospital, and I remember singing, "Great is thy mercy upon me." That's all that was in my spirit to say, and I sang it all night. And I remember getting to the hospital, looking at him, and his blood pressure dropped under, and he's gone. So we bury Mom on Wednesday. We have her viewing on Wednesday night, right? And we have to leave the church to go. No, we have her funeral on Thursday. We take her to the cemetery. We come back for repast. We had to rush over to the church so that we can view my brother and make sure he was okay. So for Thursday's funeral, the very next day. So we leave. Now, all the time, I'm in my mind going, what's going on?
Wow.
So we bury them, and I go, man, that's interesting. Now, granted, it's four boys, right? So we get through that. Family gets through it, and I come on back to Georgia. 7 months later, I get a call that says, your brother Reggie, was something happened in the jail. He was a guard there. You might want to call his wife. I call his wife, and he's gone. And so now I'm holding on to my next brother. This three people in less than 2 years. And so I'm holding on to my last brother for dear life because I love him. And less than 8 months later, he died. And so it left me the baby. I'm the last one. And I could not figure out for the life of me why. And the answer that Lou gave you was so powerful. It was clear as a bell. The answer is there's a cycle of life that God has already done. We want to keep questioning his creation. We want to keep questioning how he did things and why it's the cycle of life says we leave here. We live our life accordingly. And we do the best we can to live a righteous life, and then we leave here because every man is judged for the sins that's done in his body, right?
Right.
And so, and until we accept that very simple rule, because if we didn't get so attached to this side, we wouldn't be worried about where we going when we leave.
Mm-hmm.
We get too attached to the things on this side. Our mothers, our fathers, our girlfriends, the kids, the dog, the jewelry, the car, the clothes, we get so attached to that. And so when people think about why, and here was the beautiful part of it. When I sit back now and I look at I was 40-something years old when all this, 47, 46, something like that, when all of it started. And now I have a beautiful family. It made me love the family that I have. And it made me look back and realize that the bottom line, and I share this all the time with people who have losses like that, I tell them that, you know, when we sit back and think about it, the solution is real simple. None of us are getting out of here alive.
That's right. That's right.
None of us are getting out of here alive. And guess what? None of us are leaving here rich.
Mm-mm. Because everything you got, you're going to have to leave it.
That's right. And if you are rich, I mean, if you are poor, you don't remain poor. So we got the whole thing backwards. That's why Paul said to live is Christ and to die is what?
Gain.
That's right. So we forget we look for, you know, a lot of times, and I'm guilty of, when I was preaching, man, I'd go in the Bible and grab the scripture that was the most complicated for the congregation to understand so that I could sound just a little bit more intelligent. Or a little bit more sanctimonious when God said it's the simple things, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's the simple things. Like, you know, for example, I'm going to share this. I'm be quiet. There was a guy that we were talking the other day, and he posted, he said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I asked him, I said, if you were hungry and I gave you a sandwich, and I said, would that be pleasing to God? And he said, bro, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Unless you got faith, then because we forget the acts that please God. Everything good, the Bible says, is from him. So he's pleased with good behavior, right? So we got to sit back. Yeah, we got to really take where we are into context. And so we accept the fact that God is real. We accept the fact that life is what it is. We can't change it. I don't care how much praying we do, it does not change who God is. It's going to be you know what I hate, and I tell people this. They say they're people of faith, right? But every prayer they're asking for the same thing. If he heard you the first time. Let your kid keep asking you for a bicycle and watch you smack him right upside his head. Come on, be for real. Look at Balaam and when Israel, when they said, well, come over here so that you can bless us so that we can beat Israel. He goes to God and he says, hey, they said they was going, and God said, don't go over there. He said, no. And he went back again, yeah, but they, and they said, well, they're going to give me all of this and all. He said, don't go over there. And then Balaam said, sent him. He said, well, give him some more. And he goes and said, well, God, they're going to give me riches and make me powerful. God said, then go ahead then. And he gets on the donkey, and the donkey start talking to him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You follow what I'm saying? Because we keep going back for the same things over and over. Why? That's like your kid asking you why. Because I said so. It's that simple. That's the answer. You know, as I said so.
Oh, wow. You know what I just heard while you were talking, Sinessa?
What's that, bro?
I heard this in my ear. Stop wanting the spoils.
Yeah.
And stop wanting the spoils and want the will.
See? Mm. That's powerful right there. Because when you end the will, you know what? Here, remember, how many of y'all know this? The safest place in the whole wide world is in the will of God, right?
Yep. Right.
He says, though your trials may be rough, your way may seem a little rough, it's in the will of God.
Yep.
It might be on the mountaintop or in the valley low.
Valley low.
But it's in the will of God. And so when we understand that we're in his will, anything that happens in his will is for all things work for the good of them. That's what I, so we forget.
Who are called according to his purpose.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, y'all going to try to get me to preach Sunday, but I ain't going to do it. Bro, Sword, they trying to get me, Sword, they trying to get me, Sword.
Hey, Jim, it's me too. We got
it's
you. You with us. You heard us.
Yeah,
you know,
bro, you got
you,
that.
You have us, man. You got it, man. The word says, David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee."
That's
you
right.
know, you got that word, and like you were saying the other day, you know, it's all right to know him, man, and to know what you know, that you know, but you got to, you know, not fall back when some truth comes.
That's
you
right.
Know.
Now I do want to share this too, brother. And this was on what Schwartz said. Brother Schwartz said something, and it's really true. In a natural sense, Brother Schwartz, the sins of the father are passed down to third and fourth generation. Right? Listen to this. This is powerful. Because when we look at the gang proliferation and the disrespect to parents and the things like that, if you really watch it, that thing happens through generations. The kids learn. Learned behaviors are passed down through generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
But the consequence is the one who's doing it, because see, back then everybody didn't have a King James Bible. Everybody got King James Bibles, they got Holy Quran, they got every holy book and righteous scripture in the world that tell them don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, don't fornicate,
Right.
When they do it, it's on them. You got digital, you got the internet, you got Facebook. You can go on Facebook and type Bible in, and you got a million Bible pages where you can be on instead of booty pages all day long. So if you feeding that thing, it's a generational curse. And so instead of sitting there watching, and I share this with you, you know, the generation that we going through, if I go back three generations of television,
right.
Just for a perfect example, I go back three generations of television. When I was a kid, we was watching Leave It to Beaver, the Lucille Ball Show, Andy Griffith, Fred Sanford was the dirtiest thing on TV at the time. Yeah. You're Sanford and Son, right? Now, every program that they want to know why people are getting shot in the head and Trenton and killed everywhere, because every program is a CSI program.
That's right.
Or someone did it,
right.
And they trying to figure out, yeah, because the criminals, they trying to tell the criminals, if you do this, you might get away with it.
Right.
There's, I'm sharing this. I'm going. Yeah, I'm going. Check this out. I remember one time in New York, I was, Mr. Allen came up and the guy said, I think I shared it, and I was smoking a cigarette, and he said, man, you love me, don't you? And I said, yeah, I love you, sir. He said, he was an older guy. He said, you love me more than God, don't you? I said, no, you crazy. This was after church. I said, you crazy. I don't love you more than God. He said, yeah, you do. I said, how you figure I love you more than God? He said, because you saw me coming up, and you took the cigarette and put it behind your back, but you smoked it right in front of him.
Yeah, right.
Don't want nobody to see you doing wrong.
God see all things. And so
when you see
somebody coming, you're gonna put that magazine down. You're gonna turn that video off, turn that TV off. Somebody coming in the room, but God will just beware. He's all knowing. He's all seeing. And so, you know, like the old man was trying to tell you, you know, how you going to say you love God or you respect God? You just dissing him right in front of his feet.
That's right. That's right, bro.
You got to be aware, you know. And all this conversation is pulling us up. We need to be pulled up, man, you know. And let's tighten up, man, you know. Tighten up. But God is good, man.
All the time.
I love you, brothers, man. You know.
Let me ask.
For someone that's out there right now, that's, you know, that's going through, who's not, you know, knowledgeable in the Bible, they're not knowledgeable in all these other things, but they're going through situations. They got a sense of, or they've heard about them, but they're blaming God, or the thing they're going through is keeping them from even trying to believe in God, because they can't understand why he would let them go through that. And how could you love me? How could you be a God that loves me, that, and you say you get glory out of my pain?
Well, there's
AJ.
Go ahead.
AJ, it's your brother Kev.
Hey, what's going on, Kev?
I don't want to cut you off in mid sentence. So
go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, if you're not finished, go.
No. I just want anybody you can answer. I just want to know, because everybody, you know, when we go through stuff, we may study the Bible and we got scriptures that we can go to and grab onto, or whatever book you read. But there are some people in here that a lot of people are not studying it, and they don't have a guide or a map. All they feel is what they're going through, and their situation is the main thing that's standing, all they see. And to say that, tell that person that God loves them, they're saying, how could you say this all-powerful God loves me? If he loves me, why would he let me go through what I'm going through? Is that love?
Hey, Jeff, when I came in, I came in on the brother who was talking about his family, who passed on, like, one after the other and the other. And I typed up a scripture, you know, that I want to read. But if you say that God loves you, this scripture will also apply. And it's Luke 23:46. And what it says is, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.
Hmm.
And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Every man, every woman, every child is destined to give up the ghost. But are they destined to be commended into the hands of God? The hands of the Father. So the main thing is, I can leave. Jesus left this world for us, for love of us. And he died just as we will one day give up the ghost. But he was resurrected. He was resurrected so that we could be resurrected as he were. So that's all I wanted to say there, is that there's life after this life. But it's trust and faith. Should I say that again? Trust and faith in God.
And you know what, bro? I actually feel that scripture, but the point that I'm saying, not really even trying to make a point, but it's the point of me actually living right now in this world. I'm in the world, like, right now. And what I'm feeling is right now. So, you know what I mean? In church, you know, or in God, we have a hope, and our hope is for the kingdom of God. And our hope is to go where God is. But the problem is inside of time and what I'm dealing with in time.
Right.
And that's what chips away at it chips away at your mind. People go crazy from the things they go through. There are people right now that have to take medicine and all type of drugs because they lost loved ones. And not just to talk about loved ones, but you know, just the pains of this world. And to say, like, why couldn't it just be a button to just fix it all?
Hey, Jay, I just want to comment, like you were saying, you know, you're in the church, but you might not read the Bible, and you go through some type of trauma, and then you get in God, you go to God, and you say, you know, God, why me? You know, why you, where's your love? Why are you allowing me to go through this? But, you know, like, you know, me speaking from experience, my trauma, man, you know, my trauma, it's like, you know, why I don't love God like I said I do. We always want God to give something to us, but if God don't give it to you and you don't have what you've been asking him for, is you still strong enough connected to have enough trust in him that he's still with you and that you got to go on? You can't stop trusting him because he's not answering you, he's not saying nothing, and you're not getting what you feel like you rightfully deserve. The question is, do you love him back? And then the pain sometimes, and then our human side kicks in, and the human side says, you know what, I'm getting angry now. I'm getting angry with God. I'm getting angry with everybody. I'm upset and I'm frustrated. And we choose to allow ourselves to be down and out and discouraged and pull our hair out to the point that we need the medication because we choose not to just, you know, remember what you heard. To trust him no matter what. You know, no matter how dark it gets, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. You know, just hold on and go through your little go-through because you're going through.
Go ahead.
When you're going through...
Can I say, let me, I want to say this, all right, you notice I've been real quiet for the last couple of minutes, I want to say this because this just dropped in my spirit, and I want to say it, and then I go back to being quiet. You want to know, and I'm going to say this, and I want, if Pastor Garant's on the line,
I'm still
If Senefer and Brother Gabo and Brother Sword, you know, I'm gonna say this, and I know this is coming straight from God. I know it is. Do you want to know that the churches that's gonna be successful in this next move of God? It's not the churches that's just gonna hide behind the Word of God.
Yeah.
It's the leaders in this next move of God that don't mind being transparent.
Right.
Because it's gonna take a word of transparency to reach this generation.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not going to want to hear nothing. They want to hear some life experience.
Right.
They just don't want you throwing the word of God in their face. They
right.
need something. They need a word, a holistic word. And it's gonna take us that better relationship with God. That's gonna be able to dig in this word, transform this word into a language that these gangbangers and all these other folks gonna be able to receive.
That's right.
I've been in my word all week, man, because my prayer now is, Lord, give me a word that's gonna transform. I want a transforming word. I don't want to just get up and preach a dynamic message if it don't bring forth no fruit. And I'm telling you, this old way of preaching or this old way of thinking to exegete the word, it ain't gonna work no more. It's not gonna work. So all this rhetoric about, and it ain't nothing wrong with quoting scriptures. I don't want anybody to think I'm saying quoting scriptures is wrong. But quoting scriptures to a scriptureless person is pointless.
Yeah.
It's at the point now where it's pointless. It might be good for where you are, but once God delivers you and brings you in, now you got to be concerned about reaching somebody else. And we gotta have other ways of reaching them besides just quoting a whole bunch of scriptures. We
all
need
right.
to make this Bible become a lesson.
Apostle Young, your phone sound kind of crazy.
He
got to
pull off the phone. He's loud. That's
okay. We gotta make the scriptures. Can y'all hear me now?
Yeah, better.
We got to make these scriptures come alive. And the only way that you can make the scriptures come alive is by applying them to your own personal life.
That's right.
Because
you know,
quoting them is good, but these folks want some examples. They want some living examples, and they need
right.
men and women of God that can live out the word, not just quote it.
You know, one of the things that I was talking to a brother the other day, gang member in Trenton, New Jersey, and for the last couple of weeks, I don't know what it is, Lou. You know, it's funny because you know where I am, and I don't have to keep saying where I am and where I stand with God. I don't do that anymore. I made a vow after I got off this show the other night that's not the most important thing to me, because love disagrees. You follow
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Most
yep.
times people say that love agrees. Love disagrees with things that are going wrong. And I talked to this young man, and this young man told me, and I really, really, it broke my heart. He said, the church is talking about the gang members and how messed up we are and how many times people are, how we killing people out in the street. He said, bro, do you think, do you think that we're that evil that we would just go out and kill somebody? And I said, I don't know. You tell me. And he said, we kill to stay alive. And here's a young man that said, you know, when somebody puts a gun to your head and say, it's either you, your mother, your father, your kids, or somebody else, somebody gonna get it. It's like a game of tag. That's how he described it. Tag,
wow.
You're it. So the problem is not the guy with the gun. It's the force behind that. Now, here's where it gets interesting, because the person, like Lou said, that is not reading the Bible, the Quran, the anything. He's the only book that he's reading is the book of life that he's living.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only book that he has to read. And so if he sees no men, you know, he don't want to go to church.
That's right.
He don't want to go, because I don't want to be like that. I don't want to put a suit on. I don't want to sit in there. I don't want to go through that. Why can't I live? Yeah, I don't want to have to go through that. And so guess what? Jesus didn't go to church either. He ain't put on no suit. He ain't had
sure
no Cadillac.
Sure
maybe. And so why? why are we trying to force people to do something that God didn't do himself? Right? So here's
hey,
the deal. So here's the deal. With people, because this is where I came from. And Lou will tell you, man, I was strung out for almost 15 years. I fought every night.
Every night.
I stole every night. That was how I lived. You know? And so when I finally pulled it in, nobody can't tell me that somebody came out on the street and witnessed to me. Guess where it was? It was in this quiet place. The scripture said the mighty rushing, the thunder, and the we can scream as loud as we want, quote as many scriptures we want. It says a still small voice.
Right, that's what it says.
So until you are able, we got to show, you know, black men, that's why it's important. And I say black men because this is, I can't speak for them. I can only speak for what's going on in my neighborhood. Black men have to show their faces, man, show themselves, not only show up, but be ready for war, dressed, equipped. Everybody talks about putting on the whole armor. You can't put on the armor and sit in the pew. That don't make no sense. What are you getting dressed for battle for to sit in the pew?
Yeah.
That's just me, though. But I'm sorry.
That's a good. No, that's.
I just want to say.
That's a good thing.
Brothers,
Hold on, Swore. One second. Not to cut you off. I want to hear Pastor G. Comment on what he heard so far.
I think Minister Miller. Apostle Young was so accurate when he said that it's going to take leaders that'll be transparent enough to be real with this particular generation. You cannot do what we did or what my grandmother's church did 40 years ago to reach people that grew up in church all their life. My church, and Minister Miller, you've been there. I got 4-star generals, 5-star generals who are members of my church, but they didn't know no scripture. They know blood in, blood out. I'm going to die for
That's
you
right.
like you're going to die for me.
That's right.
So he didn't know nothing about no John 3:16. He didn't know that stuff. This is what I found out. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So he wanted to know, when I'm hungry, Pastor G, overseer of all this organization, are you going to feed me when I'm hungry or do I got to rob somebody? And when I say, listen, bro, we got another way. There is a way. You can't tell people. You got to show them. And then by your example, you become a living example. And everybody told me, Pastor G, you crazy. The pastor, these gang members and these street people. But let me tell you something. I found these street people that I did not find in the church. And Apostle Young was on the phone, so I know he got my back. My greatest hurt did not come from the street. It came from the church. These
church folks.
These Nigerians. They will smile in your face and stab you in your back.
What you call them? What
right.
you call them?
Nigerian. I didn't want to use the other N word. These Nigerians.
Hey, brother, can I say something?
Come down.
Can I say something?
I just think that you have to be transparent enough to reach
next,
them
bro.
Where they
Let
are.
Let me finish. You got the floor next. Go ahead, Chas SG.
I was saying you got to be transparent enough to reach them where they are with a relevant word and be equipped and anointed enough to read the King James or Amplified or the NIV and be able to translate it where the Bible says that the way is so simple. A man, even if he be a fool, he can't mess this up. You got to give it to them raw where they understand it. And then after they hear you, they got to be able to see your life. And
that's
what they'll follow. They don't follow Pastor G because I got a Cadillac. I don't got a Cadillac. I don't got a Rolls Royce. They follow my life.
Mm-hmm.
And because I messed up and because I lived tumultuous life, I have the evidence and the testimony that I've been there. So that's what they can connect to. That's what they can relate to. Not me telling you 19 different scriptures and tell you I'm going to give you a word of prophecy 365 days of the year as long as you give me $365. They ain't got no $365. So,
I tell you one other thing that better
hold on,
happen.
Hold on 1 second, celebrity.
Oh, my bad, because he got
it. Go ahead, Kevin. Kevin got the floor next.
Oh,
go
my
ahead,
bad.
All right, well, all I wanted to say, and, you know, I'm taking everything which everybody's saying there. Genesis 6:5 says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that his every imagination of his heart was
evil
continuously. That's our sin nature. That's our sin nature. And we know that in the book of Matthew, Satan even tried to tempt Jesus Christ himself. You know, he said, if you be the Son of God, do this. If you be the Son of God, do that. If you be the Son of God, do the other thing. But Jesus Christ fought off Satan with the scriptures, saying, it is written. It is written. It is written. Now, in the Bible, it goes on to say that that Satan is like a roaring lion, waiting to devour whom he seeks. So you got to be strong in word and deed. But the thing is, you could be strong in word and deed, right? But the thing is, you got to go back to grace. You got to go back to grace because Ephesians 2:8 says, for grace are you saved through faith.
Well, you know that Bible.
And not of yourself. It is a gift. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast. So we can try to live good. We can try to be holy. We can try to do things proper. But it's always going to be the grace of God giving his life on the cross for our sins that we are saved.
You know something, and I believe in the word. The word is powerful. I believe that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But I believe what the word truly does, that I heard apostles say, and some others say, is that it's like this. When we hear the word, and I say this all the time, we become a living word. So we are the ones that are continuing to write the Bible. Write scriptures that may not be recorded in the Bible that we read right now,
right.
Luke and John. But there is a book of Senefa, and a book of Kevin, and a book of Jermaine, you know what I'm saying, and a book of Apostle Lewis Young. So I believe it's us getting the word, studying the word, but living the life and letting our life be the example to those that are not studying the word. So they don't have to read
you,
it. They
I
can read
you.
It. Through us.
That's right. I want to share this with you guys, man, and I want you to hear me, man, because it's really, really, really important. It's really important for the church. And you guys know where I stand, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going
to
say it again. Now, there's a scripture in the book of Acts, and I'm saying this, not the Bible shower, but there's a scripture in the book of Acts that said Moses was a mighty man of valor in word and indeed in all the ways of the Egyptian, right?
Mm-hmm.
He understood them. He understood. He understood the Egyptians, and he understood Hebrews. He came to understand the Hebrews. He had to learn, right? And then Paul says, "I became all things to all men, so that I might win some." Right? He didn't say, I was a Christian to the Muslim, and I was a Muslim to the, I mean, and I was a Christian to the Jew, and I was a Christian to the, guess what he's saying? So there's a movement going on, man. And I'm sitting back watching as people, as Christians, get eaten alive.
When he done, I want to ask a question.
Because they're getting eaten alive. You know why? They're getting eaten alive because they will not study to show themselves approved. They study the Bible just to be approved by the church.
Right.
Now, you take that scripture out there. You take five scripture out there and start rattling them off to one of them brothers in the street. He's gone by the second one. He might turn them around and bang you over the head with them and say, bruh, I don't believe that. Do you know anything about this? Or do you know anything about that? So what Lou said was correct. He said, you've got to be dressed and equipped for battle, man. That helmet, the helmet of salvation wasn't just the Bible. It was understanding all the things in that area. that area. When you think about what was going on, according to the scripture, when you think about what was going on where Jesus walked at, all those people, they were in the middle of Muslims, man. He understood Islam. That's why he was able to reach them. Paul understood the Romans. That's why he was, because he was one. He understood the Jews. That's why, and he spoke those different languages. And so that's the thing where people fall victim at, man, in the church. You can't come out and tell me, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I will
fear no evil, and you won't bring your behind out the church unless there's six of y'all coming out because there's some guys standing on the corner. You know what I'm saying? So we got to learn that language, man, if you want to deal with those cats. I study everything. I read everything. And I sit down with the best of them. One of my best friends, check this out, one of my best friends is an imam of one of the largest masjids here in Atlanta. And guess what? I knew him for almost 6 years and never knew that he was a Muslim. We never even talked about it. I felt the love the brother had. He felt the love that I had for him and for our people. We never even talked about religion until one day, 6 years later, we got on the topic. Because I didn't have to throw a scripture at him. He didn't have to throw nothing back at me. Because each should produce love. If the God that you follow or the thing that you follow, I don't know any person if you ask them, hey, do you worship the devil? Or are you a Satan worshiper? I don't know anybody that goes, yeah, I'm one. I don't know any person that says that they. So everything that you do should produce love, not a scripture. If we talking about football, I got people that I talk about football with, and I'll say the announcer shouldn't have said that, and the first thing come out their mouth is a scripture. I don't want to have Bible study right now.
Exactly.
I just want to talk. Can we just watch the game? You know what I'm saying? Or can we just, listen, man, we go out to witness. We going out to witness. How about we try this? Try this as a, and it's a challenge to anybody that's listening if they are outreach people. Try going out to witness to people without using your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
See if the word that's in your heart translates into action. So if he's hungry, you don't have to say, you know,
Jesus is a living bread.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, give him a sandwich.
Yeah.
If she's on crack, you ain't got to say, you know, the Lord will deliver you. No, be resourceful. Find out where the treatment centers are in your area.
Right.
Find out
right.
where the NA meetings are. Get in the car, baby. Let's go for a ride. I'll sit in the meeting with you. Try being a witness to the work of the ministry. As opposed to the word, because the word coming from an empty vessel means absolutely nothing.
Nothing, that's right.
That's all. I'm sorry, man. Y'all going to have me preaching by Thursday,
no,
I'm telling you.
But you know something?
And
it's
know
so
why?
Good that I'm glad that this topic, you know what I'm saying, like about asking God why, right? And we all have some whys, whether you're a preacher or not. But...
This question just opened up
people being, you know, opened up, and I've heard so many great testimonies tonight, personally, because the reason why those testimonies came forth because everyone thought about it, and you found yourself in that why before. You know what I'm saying? And it brought things back. And it
you
was
live
just
long enough, everybody going to get a why.
No.
Yeah.
You ain't even got to live long. Listen. it don't take long to get a why. you can get a why within a second. It doesn't.
Yeah.
well, let me ask this question, because I don't claim to be no theologian, but I think I know a little bit about the Bible. I know Pastor Guerrero. I know him personally. I know he knows about the Bible. Pastor Guerrero been quoting the Bible since I can remember. I know Sinef, everybody on here that's talking tonight, I know you all are astute when it comes to this to the biblical writ.
Right.
But my question is this, with the Bible scholars that's on the line, answer this question. How many times
in Jesus' public ministry did he read from the Old Testament?
Very few.
There was many. There were many of us.
No, from the Old Testament?
I said from the Old
Testament. Yeah, from the Old Testament, there was quite a few verses, over 300 different verses in which Christ quoted on.
No, I didn't say quote.
That's not what the question was.
Well, are you actually saying actually picked up a piece of paper and read from it?
I said.
Are you saying that?
I'm gonna repeat the question. How many times in Jesus' public ministry, I ain't talking about pulling people to this public ministry, did he go and open up the Old Testament and read from it?
There's one in particular.
There's only one.
Synagogue.
Right.
There's only
right.
one.
There's one. Right. I was saying 300.
Where he goes
so
to the 300. Synagogue.
There's only one. When he went into the synagogue to read the scripture, to bring scripture to fulfillment.
Right.
All right. Any other time, sir?
It was wisdom.
He didn't have to quote scripture because he was scripture.
Right.
And oftentimes, the Bible says in the New Testament, he spoke in parables. What are parables? Very simple terms.
Mm-hmm.
Parables are simple stories that even a child can understand.
Right.
That's right.
My point is, when people stop trying to be so deep,
and see,
that's the problem that church folks, and I'm not trying to be funny, I'm being real tonight on this phone. When church folks stop trying to be deep so they can sound deep, you'll be able to reach a generation that's lost. I can be quiet now.
Now, you know what? On that right there, it was a scripture that Swore read tonight. And since we do have Pastor G, our brother Senefa, Mr. Gabo, Apostle Louis Young, and we have another caller on the line, too.
Good evening.
Oh, that sounds like the ex-Catholic.
Yes, sir.
D.A.?
No, that's Mr. Ex-Catholic on the line.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Now, let me ask. Remember when Sword, he gave the scripture, Isaiah 45:7?
Mm-hmm. I might have missed that one. But what was, yeah,
where,
go
where
ahead.
It said, and it was God speaking from what it was saying. It was saying, I form the light and create darkness.
Right.
I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, when that scripture was read, and since I'm hearing it, we got apostles and preachers and prophets, whoever's on the line, like, I need some insight on that verse of scripture right there.
Pastor? I want to hear this myself.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Y'all got to bear with me. I got to go. Y'all keep going. I'm listening.
It's Isaiah 45:7, and God says, "Like I formed the light, and create darkness. I make peace, and create evil. I, the Lord, do these things. All these things."
Okay, so here, one of the things that I always say. Number one, we give the devil too much credit.
Yeah.
We give the devil too much credit. And number two, we asking God for things that we can do ourselves. Mm-hmm. Let's say, for example, if those that hold to the idea or ideology or theology of the creation of man, right? And let's say that from the beginning when God blew into man the breath of life, in him also was knowledge. That was his spirit to do all the things that he wanted to do. And I think I shared one time before how David took the 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his sackcloth. But he only threw one. And he took those stones at 15 years old. Well, at 80 years old, 86 years old, in 2 Samuel, those stones were symbolic of him slaying 4 more giants. Now, and I said that to say, most of the stuff that goes on in our lives, we already have the answer to. Most of the bad stuff that happened, let's look at it. We say, okay, there was a, very few times is there an actual evil act that could not have been avoided. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, like here's a guy, just got paid on Friday. He's going to cash his check, get him a beer, and then walk from Passaic Street down to Hermitage Avenue, up Stuyvesant Avenue on his way home, instead of spending $4 to get in the cab to go home with all his money. You follow what I'm saying? So he goes through Passaic Street, gets on Hermitage, and they shoot him. Well, he could have went the other way. He knew it was bad in that area. You follow what I'm saying? The woman who wants to stay out at 10, 11 o'clock at night when you tell her, look, baby, it's bad in the street. There are a lot of things that we can do to avoid some of the evil that goes on that we give the devil credit for, which is actually us not doing what we're supposed to do. So, yeah, God created it. That's a very simple scripture. If you say that God is the creator of the universe, then he would have to create light and darkness and to understand that those things that I do, you know, those things that we get involved with, man, are a lot of them are self-inflicted. So we deceive ourselves into thinking that God's supposed to do something. And that's why a lot of times people ask, they pray, God, do this and change the streets. And do the streets is like that because we made them like that. They just, evil force just came and overcame, just took the street. Just like Israel, when they went to battle, the land that whenever they were conquered because they did something.
Yeah.
So our streets, and it, as a matter of fact, the Bible says, if you want peace, pray for the peace in the city where
right.
you are, right? Isn't that what it say?
That's what it says.
Yeah. So if we want to fix a situation that has evolved in our, because that's what we're talking about, right? If we want to fix a situation that's evolved around us, in our homes, in our community, ain't no evil spirit. We got to stop giving the devil so much credit. Ain't no evil spirit just walked up in your house and parked himself in the mind of your wife, your husband, your kids, or nothing. There was a process. It was either there was a process that you did not either discipline the house, you wasn't showing enough love. You don't get put out your house for paying the rent.
That's right.
You follow me? You there's a process. And until we get to the point to where we understand, hey, listen, you know, I'm responsible for this, and start taking ownership of it and stop trying to be sanctimonious, because guess what? You rattle off 5 scriptures, Jesus is going to say, depart from me. I don't know you.
Yeah.
Because that ain't how I did it. That's just,
wow.
Thank you, Lou. That was powerful what you said, man.
Yeah, sure was. That was. So anyone else on that scripture that Brother Sword have read, which he's back on the line now too. I just thought that scripture, you know how like you can read the Bible, and it seemed like, and I know all of y'all are Bible readers, but you can read the Bible over and over again, and every time you go and read it, you always see something that you didn't see before.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know what I mean? It's always something, and you think you've seen it all. But tonight, that scripture just stood out to me when he read it for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know, it just stood out when it said, I make peace and create evil. Even though, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, how God is the creator of all, and nothing was made that was made without him. You know what I mean? So it's like, wow,
mm-hmm.
God, he created evil.
Can I be careful with that scripture? Because, like, we know God don't do evil. But the evil where he's talking about right there, if you go into the Hebrew translation, it brings you back to chaos and judgment. Like when you look, see, a lot of people don't look at the original Hebrew not just the original word, but the definition when you go into Genesis, where it says, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, and the earth was. When it say was, that word was. Now, according to a Hebrew translation, that word was is translated became. Mm-hmm. And so now if that word was is translated became, we know God don't create nothing in vain. God don't create nothing useless. And God don't create nothing without a form. It had form to it. But it became without form, and it became a void. That word void means empty. And darkness was upon the face of the earth. That some scholars bring you back to Isaiah 45 in that verse where it says, "I create evil." Is the judgment that when Satan got cast out of heaven, that darkness came upon the face of the waters.
Mm.
You know, and he allowed, you know, darkness to hover over the whole earth because of the judgment that was based upon Lucifer and a third revelation that followed, you know.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Was you done, Brother Sword? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to just, you know, because a lot of people, you know, like I heard one of the brothers talk about, they said, how come, you know, scientists can find a bone, and the bone dates back to trillions of years, but the Bible only gives you no more than 8,000 years of history. But the Bible gives you more than 8,000 years of history. But you gotta know how to go deeper into the Word of God. Like God told Adam, replenish. Re means to do over. Replenish. Do it over. So if he did it over, what was there before him? And we who do not study deep, we say there was nothing. Genesis is the beginning, but when you go to Genesis verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. Then when you go to Genesis verse 2, it connects to what Peter was talking about, the world that then was. The world that then was. I mean, you know, like what I'm saying, some people can't grasp, but this is Dirty Talk Radio. And so if you're a student and you're trying to understand, there was something before the 6,000 years. And Adam had to re. So re means to do over. So God was telling Adam to replenish the earth. You know, and so, you know, the sun and all of that, it appeared. It, you know what I mean? But the darkness covered it up. But you know, so it goes into studying the word deep, and it's another scripture in Isaiah where the prophet Isaiah said, God did not create the arm without form and void. He created it to be inhabited and to dwell upon. But the chaos came when Lucifer got kicked out of it. And we know Ezekiel said Lucifer, his pipes, he was created perfect the day that he was made. And his pipes, it goes into his vocal cords that he was able to make music and do different things. The scripture says Lucifer was beautiful the day that God created him until darkness and evil was found in him, pride. You know, so with the judgment that evil Isaiah is talking about, that where God stated, I create evil, he's saying the judgment that I placed upon because Satan decided that he wanted to come up against the throne of God in Isaiah. And so God cast him down.
So what you were talking about was a pre-Adamite world?
Cast him down, that's where you got chaos.
Hold up. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I ain't mean to cut you off. But the thing is, what we missing here is, God is a simplistic God.
Thank you.
All right, the scripture is saying, for everybody, see, this thing ain't deep. It ain't deep. And when we stop trying to make this thing deep, that's when you're going to really understand and start to tap into the mind of God. What God is saying in the scripture is, he created Lucifer. So if he created Lucifer, can y'all hear me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He created Lucifer. So if he created Lucifer, he created evil.
Let me ask you this question. Hold on. Hold on. I'm going to ask this question. Now, if he created, are you saying, if he created Lucifer, you saying by him creating Lucifer, he created evil? So did if he's all knowing, and I'm just asking this question, did he create him evil, or did he?
Okay, let me answer that this way. Let me answer that with a question. If God knows the beginning from the ending and the ending from the beginning, do you not know, do you not think that he knew the plan of Lucifer before he even executed his plan?
So my question is, Apostle, did he create Lucifer to be evil, or did he become evil?
Lucifer created evil.
But the Bible says that God created evil.
Who personifies evil?
Listen, I just want to clarify, you know, because I brought the scripture. Lucifer, we know, means Lucifer is Lusa, means light. The Bible calls him the son of the morning, S-O-N. He was the cherub, is a mighty angel. The Bible calls him the anointed cherub that covereth. And the Bible also says that he walked in the holy mountain of God, and he walked in the midst of the stones of fire. Certain angels in verse 15 in Ezekiel chapter 27, it says, thou was perfect in thy way from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in your heart. Now, iniquity was found in his heart because God created him perfect. Lucifer was the angel of light. Now, Satan became, as they said, Lucifer became Satan. He was.
That's what I just said. That's what I just said.
You know,
can I ask you guys? You guys are, and this is from somebody, and I, you know my position. What difference? What's the difference? The matter at hand.
You ask what's the difference. Watch this. Now, I'm going to ask a question. I want to see the biblical scholars answer this question. Scientists have said that, you know, like we know forensic files, you know, you can find some bones or somebody's teeth and you can kind of like, you know, research it and
like you know, kind
of when the person, the bones of the person and how long they've been dead, almost up into an hour. But now if forensic can find that and they can find murderers through that in the time of death that somebody died, scientists says that, you know, they have found bones that date back to trillions and trillions of years. Now, I'm saying if there is, let's say there is some bones, because I'm not no scientist, but there's some things they are able to actually study and prove out to be fact. So, and it was also quoted where somebody said, you know,
wait, what's your question, though?
My question is, the Bible, if we date back, Adam wouldn't be no more than 8,000 years. Adam, that we know
right.
of in the Bible.
See, what y'all feeling?
Hold on,
realize.
Let him ask this question, Lou.
My question is, prove to us that God is the God who was there before the 8,000 years, and how did these bones come up that they found that's trillions and trillions of years old, that the earth is older than 8,000 years? How can you prove that through Scripture?
Because the Bible said, wait a minute. The Bible does not, the Bible says that 1,000 years is but a day to God.
Yeah, but I'm saying we know.
You got to understand that God transcends our arithmetic.
Both of y'all are talking, man. It's a crash. It's a train crash.
Yeah.
And you're screaming. Both of you are talking.
Okay, I'm sorry, because I'm in my car.
All right, listen, Apostle Lou, listen, if we go back 2,000 years ago, you know we got today's calendar from the A.D., that's after the death of Christ, that goes back when we live in 2011. So 2,000, let's go back 2,000 years ago, we know according to scriptures and according to people who believe in the Bible, that, and even people who don't believe, they say, yeah, Jesus was 2,000 years, he would be 2,000 years old if he lived today. Now, if you go backwards from Jesus,
bro, we get your point.
The Bible plainly tells you, Methuselah lived 969 years.
2,000 years from Moses.
Bro, we get your point. We get your point. We get your point. You ask a question and you keep it moving. But check this out. To answer your question, do me a favor. Are you familiar with the word animism?
Animism.
Animism. Yes. It's A-N-I-M-I-S-M. Pull that word up, brother. Pull that word up because this is what I'm talking about. If you're looking for
A-I-N?
A, no, it's A-N as in Nancy, I-M as in Michael, I-S-M.
Okay.
And so the reason I say that is because I get, you know, it's frustrating when you hear somebody hold on to something without the whole picture, man. You got to read outside the book sometime. That's what we were talking about. That's what I was just saying. If all you know, and this is the truth, and I say it with passion, man, if all you know is one book, then you know nothing at all. If all you know is one book, then you know nothing at all. God would have to be the smallest-minded person to put all of it in a book. It's not all in the book. The precepts might be in the book, but it's not all in the book. The answer is, who cares? The guy getting shot on the street don't care how old Adam was. He really don't care how old Jesus was. He don't care of what the Hebrew word means. Hebrew in today's society means absolutely nothing.
True.
So, now, the word animism, somebody tell me what the definition, what it is. Hold on, bro. We're going to fix it.
It's too many people talking at the same time.
What does the word animism mean?
It means a religious belief.
Hold on, bro.
It is a religious belief that natural phenomena, including animals, plants, and often inanimate objects, possess some kind of spiritual essence.
Now, this is the reason why I say that. That religion, that is a religion, right? That predates every religion. It's called prehistory. When we hear the word prehistoric, it means before recording. History means what was recorded. Prehistory. So it's prehistoric. That means there is no answer for it. We don't know what it was. We don't know who the people were. But one thing that they did find out was that whoever those people were connected to natural things, because they did not have a book, and they connected to the things that were made, and then they connected to the things that were spiritual. So they made them things just like the same thing with the Bible does. It takes a natural thing and it makes it spiritual. And it takes the spiritual thing and makes it natural. Animism is the religion prior to any other religion. It's prehistoric. So for us to sit there and try to figure out what happened before the flood, what happened before Adam, it's irrelevant. Because if it was relevant, it would have been in there. It would have been, I'd have told the whole story. The point is we get lost, but maybe it's me, man. I just get frustrated when I hear the scripture showers, and, you know, when there's a bigger cause. I'm trying to figure out how that was, where that came from when we were talking about something else.
Yeah, it goes back to what I was saying. Let's stop trying to be deep, and let's get to what's relevant. What's relevant is what can we do to get God's agenda across?
Right.
And all this other stuff, what can we do to get, just like the topic tonight is asking the question why.
Right.
And answering the question why don't have nothing to do with all this other stuff we talking about bones and all this other stuff, because at the end of the day, thank you for the knowledge about whatever, but you still ain't, let's answer the question.
Well,
let's,
it does have something to do with bones, though, Lou, because when you start talking about stuff that is not relevant to situations in life, then you have to ask, will these dry bones live? You know what I'm
but
saying?
But you know what?
Because that's all
though,
they are, dry bones.
Hold up. Let me say this, though. In a way, if you really look at it, it kind of does fall in the category of why. Because it's the question. And
yeah,
it's
okay.
A lot of questions that's not being answered.
Well, I just
that
answered.
We don't know. No,
we,
no,
the
I'm,
question
I'm
is, we don't want to accept the answer. We don't want to accept what we find. Let me tell you, and I wanted to refrain from even saying anything, but when we go back, when we get back to that point where you start asking about Adam and Eve, and Adam only dating back to 6,000 years, then you start going back to the people that they found. You know, Ursa Ma'atra, Setepera, dates back, he's almost 10,000 years. When you start looking at Zolger's over 13,000 years, and they got the bodies of those people in the British Museum. So it ain't like those people didn't exist. So when you want to know who was here, they're here. It's just that we don't want to accept them, what we find, because it challenges what we believe, and we can't make sense out of it.
Okay.
So it's easier to leave it alone.
Hold on.
That's what I was telling you the other day, man.
It starts sounding real crazy. When everybody's trying to talk at the same time, it sounds crazy. Now,
that's
of course, this drop, who was just listening, and I was about to ask him a question about the thing, and now his call dropped because probably he's like, all right, enough of this.
Yep, told you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't have that.
It goes back to what I
said. If you ain't strong, it's Dirty Talk Radio. You got to be strong. I know we got to be intelligent.
No. What I'm saying, though, what I mean, put it this way. With ones that's on the, I can understand that a cat who may be calling for the first time, but cats that already been on the show know how things go.
Yeah,
if I'm like, yo, hold up, it should be
Jesus.
Easy.
Yeah, just
be
quiet.
Just to stop what I'm saying, stop, and then I'll get back to you, or be like, all right, go ahead, continue. But, like, I'm constantly like, ho. We shouldn't have to do that. But anyway, we're moving past that now. That's part of the past. We're in the future. Listen, my thing is like this. Brother Senefa, man, you on the line here. I mean, you've been talking and everything. And I just want to say, everyone that's been listening out here, it's a lot of questions that probably couldn't even get answered on this show, that probably will never be able to be answered. But everyone has personal questions within themselves. And based upon the pain and the misfortunes or the dilemmas that they faced in this world. And some people, what they go through makes them better. Some people, what they go through makes them worse. It all depends on what it is and how they handle it. The reason why I wanted to have this show tonight about, you know, God, why? Because, listen, it's a real question. You know, and there's no disrespect to God or anything, but people really want to know that. I understand what this scripture says and that scripture says, but why does it even have to say that in the scripture? Why couldn't you just make it right? You know, like, why? If it's all about love and it's all about peace, why can't it be that way? Why do I got to feel this hell? You know what I mean? Like, why do I have to be this? You know what I mean? Why do I have to feel this hell? If it's all about this peace and this love and this happiness and this greatness, why all of this? You know, it's just like even D.A. said one time before, listen, I know we take the penalty for someone else what they've done, but when does it all end? When does the cycle broke? When does it break? We keep going through and through, and the only thing we have to look forward to, which is great because the word says it, is heaven and the great and his kingdom, whatever it really truly exists in that kingdom. But right now I'm living this world, man, and I'm going through hell, and I don't like it. And I really wish I really didn't have to go through it. I really didn't even wish we had to live with the concept that day. If I mess up, if I don't get it right, it's a chance that I'm going to burn forever. Even after what I went through here on Earth.
Wow.
People are feeling that way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, like I got to go from pain to pain, from struggle to struggle.
You know?
And then on top of that, like, glory comes from my pain. But what about my happiness?
You know, Brother Jermaine, I remember once I had gotten locked up for child support. They had come pick me up and lock me up in Mercer County. That was when the jail was still on Broad Street. That was way back in the day, right? But they had locked me up for child support, and they took me in there. And when they booked me in, they booked me. So they made a mistake, and they put me on 5 South. And 5 South was where people who were waiting to be for placement to another prison. And so these were people who had committed murders and rapes and armed robberies, and they were going down for a while. And my little 30-day skid bid, I was supposed to be on 4 South, but they ended up putting me on 5 South, 6 North, which is where they ended up putting me at. And I remember going up there, and there was a bunch of guys up there who had been, and some of those guys were coming back from, they were coming from prison, going to the county jail, awaiting to go to court, their trial. So they were just being housed there. But when I got up on that tier, I saw people that I hadn't seen in 10, 15 years. And I said, they were like, Phelps, what's up, man? I was like, yo, what's up, my man? And they said, man, what are you doing up here, man? Dag, man, you was doing good. We was following you in the paper for the last 5 years. But I never, you know, you don't go to jail and ask nobody what they doing in there, you know, or how much time you got. That's just not, that's a no-no. So I started a Bible study maybe in the room where the barbershop was. And this is just a testimony. And I started sharing with those guys in there, and it grew to where the brothers from the Islamic brothers that was in there, they started to come. So the room wasn't big enough. So they gave me the gym on Wednesday and Thursday nights. So on Wednesday and Thursday nights, they allowed people to come from all different tiers of the jail to come to Bible study. And it turned into something really deep, because what I found out was after that, then I had freedom to go around that tier. But anyway, on the tier one night, must have been about 6:30, I was going from cell to cell talking to those brothers, right? And I asked the brother, I said, man, what are you doing here? And it was a Spanish guy, and he said, man, he just started crying. He wanted to talk to me. He said, bruh, I just want to tell you something, man. He said, man, I'm in here. They told me I got a double life sentence. I said, well, what did you do? He said, well, he was locked up for raping this old lady and killed her and something else he did. So it was horrible, man. It was horrible. But at any rate, his life was, you know, when you look at people spending the rest of their lives in prison, and then you wonder what type of torture that is, never to see females again, you going to jail for the rest of your life. And he said, where's my freedom in this? And so we sat down and we talked, man, for a while, man. And this brother, after about a week of him reading, you know, and I'm going to be honest, I gave him a Bible and a Quran. And after a week of sitting down, studying and reading, guess what he did? He said, bruh, I'm free, man. I'm good. I can do this. And so, and I said that, and I shared that story with you, man, because people being locked in the prison of suffering, they is self-inflicted. You don't have to suffer. You're gonna go through, but you don't have to suffer in it. You follow what I'm saying? Everybody's gonna be challenged by something, or you're gonna be locked in. I tell you what, the next time you go through something, go out and go on the street. Do the opposite of what you feel to do, which is sit and sulk. If you don't have money and you broke, but you got a job and you broke, go out, make some sandwiches, make 2 or 3 sandwiches, even though you don't have it, and go out. And I bet you find somebody who's more hungry than you who haven't eaten.
Wow.
And then
I'm
going to
cut you off right there, but hold on one second.
Listen, everyone out there that's been listening to Dirty Church Radio, listen, we thank you. We only got a few seconds left on the air live. Listen, we appreciate you for tuning in. Listen, we want to encourage you, a lot of people more, to start calling in and giving us your points and views here on Dirty Church Radio. You're more than welcome, regardless of who you are, what you've been through, what you've done. All of that does not matter. But what matters is that you have a mind with thoughts in it, and we want to hear you share what you think on a daily basis, living this life. Listen, stay tuned to the next show, our Sunday night primetime edition. Listen, all y'all out there, God bless you. We love you here on Dirty Church Radio.